one constant through all the years, Ray. Baseball.
It's time to put on those oven mitts, because it's time to bring the heat with Christian Brown.
And welcome back to Bringing the Heat. I'm Christian Brow here, and welcome to another episode of Bringing the Heat. We got the Kansas City Royals on the map today for the season preview. The Kansas City Royals are a sneaky good team. Well, they've made a lot of good changes, I should say. And I'm here with Nick Wyman. He is a writer and editor at Overtime Heroics. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it's a Friday afternoon. The Royals play on TV for once today, so I'm looking forward to that today, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Nick. And you can find him on Twitter at Nick Wyman, NickWhyman. Let's get right into it, man. Let's talk about last season. It was a really weird year, 60 games, and Kansas City did not make the playoffs, even though it was extended. They have had a very difficult AL Central to compete with. They wound up being in fourth place in the Central at 26-34. They were 15-15 at home and had a losing record on the road. They had some tough games last year, 10 games behind the Minnesota Twins for the AL Central. But I'd just like to hear your thoughts about last season.
Yeah, last year was a little weird. So like spring training happened. I think we were about 2 weeks out before the season. And then, you know, the COVID-19 stuff happened and everybody was like, well, the NBA shut down, hockey shut down. What is baseball going to do? You know, they're an outside sport. Maybe it's easier to social distance. There was a lot of question marks around COVID. We didn't really know what was going to happen. And MLB decided to suspend the season. And everybody in baseball was kind of just up in the air. Like, are we going to have a season? There were rumors it was going to start around Memorial Day. It was really weird. They ended up playing, you know, late July, like we all know. For the Royals, it was a little weird to start off with because a lot of players had COVID to start. Like Brad Keller was out, Ryan O'Hearn was out, backup catcher Cam Gallagher, Salvador Perez had COVID at once, and Jake Junez and others. They were hurt right off the bat, so you were missing a lot of starters to start the season. But honestly, like the team, like the record, I would not say depicts how like well they played last year. You know, obviously they struggled with getting runs in off base, but they honestly, like, I think a majority of their losses were to the Chicago White Sox. I think a third of their losses last year were to Chicago. So outside of them, they had a pretty solid season if they didn't play the White Sox, I should say. But I think, you know, they had a really young team as well this year as well. But, you know, guys like Brady Singer, you know, looked really good last year at times. Chris Bubich, another pitcher in the organization, looked really good. And, you know, thinking of last year, it was kind of I wouldn't say it's a lost season, but it was like a trial season, I guess. Because I don't think anybody expected the Royals to make a run in 60 games. But for what it was worth, I think they, you know, showed that they could progress some players during that time.
Well, you brought up run support, and that's exactly what was hurting this Kansas City Royals team. Their run differential last year was at a negative 24. That was tied for sixth worst in the American League. So obviously some improvements need to happen there. And hopefully some of these new additions can help you out with that. And they've got some sneaky good additions that not many people are talking about because a lot of analysts and reporters want to talk about the sexy picks of the other team in the Central, and that's the Chicago White Sox. But, you know, the Royals are really adding in some very fun picks. You know, getting Carlos Santana at first base, bringing in Andrew Benintendi in a trade with Boston, Michael A. Taylor coming over into center field. It's going to be a pretty fun team to watch this year. And you also have probably one of the most electric prospects in all of baseball. Let's start off, though. Let's kind of break it down a little bit. And let's take a step back and let's talk about this rotation. One guy you also brought in is Mike Minor. This rotation could be very fun to watch and very underrated. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this rotation.
Yeah, for the rotation, I think, you know, like we said, Mike Minor, a lot of people said, oh, he might be a relief role. I think he will be a part of the starting rotation this year, maybe a two or a three guy. You know, they needed a lefty pitcher, and they got it. Their bullpen still is lacking left-handed pitchers, but that's another story. So it looks like three of the pitchers are going to be they're going to have Brad Keller, Mike Minor, Danny Duffy, and Chris Bubich right now. Those are the four, I believe. You know, and Brady Singer as well. Those are your two of the five are young guys right now, which, you know, it doesn't look great on paper, but if they shine, they're going to look you know, they're going to look pretty good with Mike Minor, a veteran leader there. Brad Keller's been with the organization for a while now, and Danny Duffy, another veteran. It's kind of a, you know, kind of an odd rotation. You got two veterans, two young guys, and the guy who's just kind of in the middle there. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of gel together. You know, Brad Keller, I think he after coming back from COVID last year, he looked really good throughout the season. Danny Duffy, there's a lot. I mean, he's on the last year of his contract, so some people think he may be trade bait this season come the trade deadline, which I could see possible. I mean, it's the last year of his contract, and Kansas City might want to get something out of him. Like I said, Mike Minor, kind of out of nowhere, got a multi-year deal. That should be really interesting. You know, it's a second time around with the organization as well. And then Brady Singer and Chris Bubich. Brady Singer, you know, a lot of hype since he came out of Florida, first-round draft pick, and Bubich out of Stanford. I mean, both those guys, a lot of people are looking at them as the future. I wouldn't say aces, but future of the rotation for Kansas City.
Well, you also just talked about how the bullpen is hurting for left-handed pitching. There's not a current left-hander in the depth chart for the Kansas City Royals in that bullpen. And some thoughts of who's going to be closing games for you this upcoming year. Obviously, we still have guys like Wade Davis there, older guys like Greg Holland. There's Tyler Zuber, Scott Barlow. Your thoughts about this bullpen, because I think right now that is probably the biggest concern on the squad.
Yeah, the bullpen is still relatively young. You listed a lot of guys like Scott Barlow was used almost, I think, over 30 games last year. Mike Matheny really liked to rely on him. He struggled to begin the season. I remember on opening day last year, Scott Barlow gave up the lead against Cleveland. And throughout the year, Barlow looked pretty decent out of the bullpen, started to get some confidence. The left-handed pitching scenario, there's like a couple names that you could throw in there, like Richard Lovelady. He's kind of been an up and down throughout his career. He comes up for maybe a game, then gets sent back down due to somebody being activated. He's probably the guy that I would probably say is going to be in the bullpen as a left-handed pitcher. Tyler Zuber, I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, we all, you know, during the shutdown, I remember I had an interview with him during the, you know, the COVID suspension season, and he was talking about how, you know, he was trying to find any way to work out. You know, he was back in Arkansas where he's from, and he was trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen with me. I'm trying to get, you know, workouts in while I'm limited with what I can do. You know, I'm doing workouts at home and stuff like that. So, and then as a closer role, I'd go, you know, there's a couple names, like you mentioned, Wade Davis, a veteran reliever trying to, you know, recover after, you know, a tough season in Colorado. He might be one addition. Greg Holland was a closer last year. For part of the season after Trevor Rosenthal was dealt to San Diego. He's probably up there as well. A dark horse one would be somebody like Josh Staumont. You know, throws over 100 miles per hour usually on his fastball, and people like seeing that. People compare him kind of as the Jordan Hicks of the American League. I wouldn't mind seeing him in a closer role, but he's never really done it throughout his career. Another guy who kind of, Jesse Hahn was another guy who kind of got some saves last year as well. He used to be a starter, but he's kind of transitioned, kind of like what Wade Davis did in his career, to the bullpen role. So there's a handful of names they could use. I could see a closer by committee this season. You can't, I mean, it's 162 games. Like, maybe they rely on one guy, but maybe not. It's kind of up in the air.
Well, let's move on and talk about that infield, because that infield is still a little skeptical, but also a lot more interesting, bringing in a guy like Carlos Santana. This guy is definitely bringing the bats to Kansas City. There's definitely some question marks, though, whether, you know, guys like Nicky Lopez are going to continue to succeed. Hunter Doak just coming back. And then we have Medesi at the shortstop. I want to hear your opinion on this infield. And what do you see them going so far in 2021?
Yeah, so I guess I'll work my way around the diamond. At first base, you know, they signed Carlos Santana to a contract this winter, which kind of came out of nowhere because he was played at Cleveland. He used to destroy Kansas City throughout his career in Cleveland. And, you know, now he's the everyday first baseman. I think that's a big signing. You know, he struggled last year, but, you know, it was a shortened season. So not a lot of people like to look at the stats for 60 games. You know, it's not even like, you know, it's only a little over a third of a season of a normal year. You know, Brandon Santana will be big. I think he was in the home run derby a couple years ago. So that'll be fun to see him at the K this year. So, yeah, Santana, your everyday first baseman, switch hitter, which is, you know, people like seeing that out of somebody. Second base, you know, Nicky Lopez, you know, he was a really good defender last year. You know, was a Gold Glove finalist at second base in the American League. Kind of made his way up through the minors pretty quickly from Creighton University right here in Nebraska. So he's been playing second base maybe for like the last 2 years almost. And some people are still questioning his bat. His bat's been kind of skeptical at times, you know, usually batting in the bottom three of the order. You know, he's a left-handed batter, so maybe against left-hand pitching they use a platoon. They signed Hanser Alberto from the Baltimore Orioles this offseason too to a minor league contract. So if the Royals end up using Alberto as a – he plays all four infield positions, they could use him and platoon him at second base as well, which Alberto's seen a lot of action around the infield. He's kind of played all four positions so far this spring, mostly second base and third base. Shortstop, Alberto Mondesi, he's kind of been the lock at shortstop for the past couple of years. Everybody's kind of waiting for this guy to break out. I always see, you know, articles all over the internet, you know, breakout stars for each team. And Mondesi is always listed, and something always happens. Either he struggles with the plate like he did last year to start the year, or he gets hurt halfway through the year. There's always something that happens, but people are really big on Mondesi every year. And there's got to be some time this guy breaks out. You know, he's got speed. He's got some power sometimes. It's everything you want in one year shortstop. He can play defense very well. Third base, you know, last year was Michael Franco. Franco got let go by the Royals this offseason after a short stint with the team. But now I think Hunter Dozier is now locked in at third base for the rest of the season. You know, he kind of has been moved all over his whole career. It's funny how it goes. You know, he started at shortstop, getting drafted, moved to the outfield, then went to first base for a short time, back to third. Now he went back to the outfield sort of last year, ended up at first base to end the year, and now he's back at third base, it seems, for an everyday role, as he just got a contract extension just a couple days ago as well. Hunter Dozier, a couple years ago, I think in 2019, he honestly should have been an all-star, but, you know, they didn't vote him in, but he had a really good year then in 2019, and I think that year's what earned him a contract extension. Last year, he was out for a while. He got hurt for a little bit. But Hunter Dozier, everyday third baseman.
Well, you brought up discussing the infield. But one guy that we haven't talked about is someone who's been very exciting so far in spring training. But he might be a little young in service time to make this squad. And that's Bobby Witt Jr. He has been fantastic so far. One of your recent draft picks, top draft picks. I believe it was 2018. If I'm mistaken, it is going to be very fun to watch him when he finally makes it to the big leagues. But is this the year that it happens?
Yeah, he was a 2018 draft pick, second overall, behind Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles. So, yeah, he came out of high school. I think he's still relatively young. I know a lot of people are really high on this guy. He's looked, I mean, last year, I remember 2019, he played rookie ball. And then last year, he didn't play, obviously, because of minor league baseball not having a season. He, you know, he got an invite to go to the summer camp, Bobby Witt Jr. did, and he got a lot of hits off some of the major league pitchers, and everybody's like, man, this guy, is he legit? Is he going to make the team this year? And obviously he didn't play. He didn't make the team. It's just, you know, to get some practice in for a guy who's, you know, still, you know, he's still, I think he's 19 years old, almost 20, still growing his game. You know, obviously he's not, you know, he's still maturing. But this year during spring training, he got another invite, and over the last couple of games, he's gotten a couple hits. Last night against the Reds, he had an, I guess, quote unquote, inside the park home run. He hit a fly ball to left field, and the left fielder kind of dropped it. Obviously, the count is an error. So, but it's spring training. We're going to count it as inside the park home run, I guess. So a lot of people are high on him. I really, you know, I think he needs more development in the minor leagues. It's very rare you see somebody just go from rookie ball to the major leagues within a couple years span. He probably will start the year in Double-A in Northwest Arkansas, maybe end up in Omaha by the end of the season in Triple-A. Barring injuries, I don't see him making his way to the majors this year, but maybe next year at the earliest, I would say. Anytime next year is probably the window for Bobby Witt Jr.'s MLB debut.
I think no matter what, a lot of Royals fans are on Witt watch. As we continue this season to see if it does happen. But I think you're right. I think we don't see him until next season. He does have a little bit to grow, and he's going to do it. He's so young, but he is very electric, and it's going to be very exciting when he finally makes it here. Hey, looking at this outfield, we see two brand new faces probably starting in the field for you. And let's start up talk about left field first, and that's Andrew Benintendi. The Royals had a pretty decent-sized trade to get Benintendi from the Boston Red Sox, a player that was very high on the Red Sox radar for the last 5-6 years, and it finally decided to move on from them, and Kansas City gets him. So your thoughts about Benintendi in the field?
Yeah, Andrew Benintendi, kind of this trade happened like out of nowhere. Like, it was a late night, I remember, and Kansas City, you know, acquired Benintendi from the Red Sox for Franchy Cordero in a 3-team trade. Cordero looked like, you know, starting last year after the season ended, looked like Franchy Cordero would take over in left field as Alex Gordon retired. Everyone's, you know, Franchy Cordero is playing in the Dominican Winter League. You know, he's progressing. He's hit a lot of home runs, you know. But the problem is with Cordero so far in his career is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. You know, a lot of injuries throughout his career. He's just a big stat cast kind of guy. He's hitting a lot of home runs that are very long, but staying healthy and, you know, kind of an average fielder. Now with Benintendi playing in left field, you know, Benintendi a couple of years ago was one of the big bats and one of the great fielders that helped the Red Sox win the World Series a couple of years ago. And, you know, in a big ballpark like Kansas City's, you know, a pitcher's friendly ballpark, I know general manager Dayton Moore said that he expects Benintendi to have over 40 doubles inside Kauffman Stadium this year. And I don't know. Some people think he may be the Royals all-star for the all-star game this year. I would not be shocked. You know, he's in a new face of a new world right now in Kansas City. Struggled to end his Red Sox career last year in a shortened season. But, you know, it's kind of a win-win for both teams. You know, the Red Sox get Franchy Cordero with a lot of power in a smaller ballpark like Fenway. But Kansas City's got Benintendi in a bigger ballpark who can, you know, hit for doubles and triples, and, you know, being a great fielder in left field. I think Benintendi is a great fit for Kansas City.
Could be a good change of scenery for both players, but I do agree. I think Benintendi is going to do great in Kansas City. Another guy you guys got in the outfield is someone from the 2019 World Series champions, and that was the Washington Nationals, Michael A. Taylor, coming over to play most likely center field for you guys. And then right off the field is obviously Whit Merrifield, who has been there for a pretty decent amount of time, probably one of your biggest veteran on that team. So give me a brief, you know, recap and outlook about the rest of this outfield.
Yeah, the rest of the outfield. Michael A. Taylor comes over from the Nationals, like you said. Kind of struggled to end his Nationals career, but kind of like Benintendi, he's looking for a new change of scenery. And Michael A. Taylor, you know, he's actually been a pretty good, you know, hitter in the postseason. I'm not saying Kansas City's gonna make the postseason, but I remember during the run of the playoffs, he was a really good bat for Washington then. He's a great fielder. He's made some good plays in the outfield this year in spring training I've seen. You know, there was one the other day, ball was kind of hit toward the gap in right, you know, center field, right field, and he made a catch and threw a one hop back to first base and doubled up the runner who was trying on a hit and run. And it was a pretty good throw back to Santana at first. Taylor looks like, you know, they're kind of trying to make him like the new Lorenzo Cain, I guess, kind of in center field. You know, a lot of people still are skeptical about his bat. If that doesn't work, they have a lot of other options on the bench. You know, they have Nick Heath. He's a younger center fielder, kind of didn't really get much playing time last year, but he's another bat. Everett Olivares, he's another bat. They got him from San Diego last year before the season started. Only 23 years old, so he's still growing. He's another bat you could see in any of the outfield positions, barring injury or anything. So center field's still up there. And also they got Jerod Dyson on a deal the other day. So, I mean, you could see Jerod Dyson make an appearance as a pinch runner or something like that. Maybe play, give somebody an off day. You could see him make it back to the majors this year. And as for right field, you know, Whit Merrifield, he's, you know, kind of, I don't know. I wrote something a couple before the season ended last year, something about the most underrated player in baseball. And I would say he's one of the most underrated players right now. I mean, the guy hits, you know, but leads the league in hits in the AL 2 years in a row, bats over 300, and still barely, you know, the league. Some people don't even know who the heck he is, even though he's putting up these crazy, you know, batting stats and playing all over the field. You know, he's played all outfield positions and you play all the way in the infield. I think the only position he hasn't played is catcher and pitcher in his career. And, you know, he's kind of been, you know, the leadoff guy forever. A lot of people always talk about him in the trade talks, but I think Kansas City, you know, it's been 2 years in a row they haven't traded him, and I think, you know, they're really committed to keeping this guy and building around him as, you know, kind of the core of the team.
I think that this team has a lot of potential, but that being said, it's time to ask you, 2021 expectations. MLB win totals by DraftKings Nation has the Kansas City Royals at 72.5 games. That's good enough for fourth place in the AL Central. I want to know, 72.5, is that too high or too low? And what is your expectations for this team in 2021?
Yeah, the 72.5, that's probably relatively, you know, that's probably relatively right. I would say, you know, maybe somewhere between 70 and 75, maybe, is probably my guess. The AL Central is a very, you know, tough division. I know a lot of people like to make fun of it as the weak link in the division because the Tigers and the Royals are kind of, you know, skeptical at times, you know, throughout their, you know, 100 losses the last couple of years. If you break down the division, you know, you have the Twins, who are a home run hitting team. You have the White Sox, which are the flashy young team with Tony La Russa as their manager. You have the Cleveland Indians, who kind of lost a lot this year. You know, they lost Lindor, Santana. They've lost a lot. They have a great pitching staff, though. So is Shane Bieber. Then you have the Royals and Tigers. You know, fourth place is probably what people would say, you know, just beating the Tigers. But, you know, if a team, you know, like this, you know, comes together and actually has like a, I don't know, not a solid year, they maybe can get to that 500 mark. It won't be enough to make the playoffs, obviously, but it'd be able to get third in the division. Because not, you know, maybe the Twins, White Sox, or the Cleveland Indians flop, you know. You know, you don't know what's going to happen between any of those teams. Maybe Cleveland, people say Cleveland might be the team that's going to flop because their offense might struggle at times. So maybe Kansas City jumps them and gets third. So, like I said, my expectations are probably somewhere between the 70 to 80. 80 is probably the tops win mark. I wouldn't say I'm betting on that, taking that to the house. But probably third or fourth place in the AL Central is likely.
All right, and there you have it. This Nick Wyman, everyone. You can find him on Twitter at Nick Wyman. He is a writer for Overtime Heroics, and that goes for the over and under. Before I let you go, I have to ask you one more question, Nick, and that is your bold prediction for the Kansas City Royals this upcoming season. It could be the team in general or one player. What is a bold prediction that no one's paying attention to that you want to put on the radar?
Ooh, a bold prediction, man. I did not come prepared for this question at all. I'd say, I don't know, kind of a bold prediction I'd have, like I kind of mentioned earlier, I'd say, I think Andrew Benintendi is going to be an all-star. I think, you know, he's going to have a really good year this year. You know, in 2018 with Boston, he had a great year, you know, made some great catches in the outfield. I think Andrew Benintendi, I don't think he's going to start, but I say he might be the Royals, you know, maybe they get one or two guys to make the all-star game. And I think he might be the one for Kansas City. If I had to make another bold prediction, I'd say, you know, we didn't really talk about everything, like we talked about the depth charts, we didn't talk about DH. You know, Jorge Soler, you know, led the league in homers, the AL in homers last time out. You know, he might do that again. Last year, you know, in a 60 game season, it's kind of a little harder to do, and you know, it's not 162 games. Jorge Soler might be able to do that again. Salvador Perez, you know, catcher, he had a really good year last year, could have won comeback player of the year last year as well. He's another bat. But if I had to say, I think either my bold prediction, I guess, would be Benintendi makes the All-Star game. But I'm not super bold on it, I would say. But that's going to be my bold prediction, I guess.
All right. There you have it. Nick Wyman, everybody. Hey, Nick, tell everybody what you got going on upcoming here for this season and where else they can find you in all your work.
Yeah, for the upcoming for the rest of the season, you know, season starts in less than a month, actually. You know, I'm just kind of getting anything prepped for the season. You know, I'm doing this all remotely. I'm not from Kansas City. I'm in the Midwest, though. So, you know, I'm kind of just watching games online, evaluating the team from here. So I've been doing that. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Nick Wyman, N-I-C-K-W-H-Y-M-A-N, no underscores or anything. You can follow right there. And if you want to check out, you know, I write for Overtime Heroics. It's an independent website that covers all sports, not just baseball. You know, they cover MMA, the NFL, college football. They're getting soccer going, hockey, basketball, all different sports. You know, you can follow them at OT underscore heroics on Twitter as well. And you can find them at overtimeheroics.net.
Awesome. Hey, Nick, thank you so much for joining, bringing the heat. And I hope to have you back on again soon.
Yep. Take care.
Kansas City, here I come. And that'll do it for this episode of Bringing the Heat. Thank you again to Nick Wyman, my guest for the Kansas City Royals. We're back here tomorrow as our 30 teams in 30 days continues here on Bringing the Heat. Until then, see you back here tomorrow. Take care.